Good morning. Well, I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for coming out this day to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I'm just thankful it's not snowing this morning. I know you're getting ready for Halloween, for all the trick-or-treating and the candy and the good things and have a good time. A few announcements. First is we do have a nursery worker, but the nursery worker called in and said she would not be here this morning. I don't think there's anyone in the nursery. Nathaniel is in the nursery worker. Someone wants to use it. And he's very capable, or if you have a child and your child gets a little noisy and you want to still hear the service, you can go into the library just through here, and there's a speaker, couches, table, and then our restrooms, the one on the right has a changing table in there that you can always use, so for your comfort. This time you can take your red pad, sign it, pass it down with your name, address, email, that type of information if you've not already given it. We would appreciate that. The session meeting is next Tuesday, November the 1st at 7 o'clock. And make note of that because that is a different night from a normal Monday meeting. Bell Choir is being held every Saturday morning at 10:30. And remind you to move your clocks back next Saturday, so it'd be in time for the service, so you get an extra hour's sleep. So that's a good thing. So, and then we're having our stewardship luncheon. That is a free meal for the church. You don't have to do anything, just come and eat. And you don't have to clean up anything. This is part of the Mark Loveland, who is a catering service out of our church, works here, pays rent, and in contract he gives us one meal a year, and it's a spaghetti luncheon, and I think all we provide, I believe, is a sheet cake for dessert. And the stewardship committee is taking care of that, I believe. So come on out, plan to be here for that, and a free meal. And the deacons are planning an annual Thanksgiving dinner, and you can sign up at the back to come out and eat, or invite a friend, or sign up to make something, one of your favorite dishes. There's should be sheets to sign up on the back table. And if you have not paid your per capita for 2011, it's still not too late to do it, $23.60 per member. Congregational meeting for November the 20th, so be ready for that, all you committees, and turn in your reports. Saturday, December the 10th, the cookie walk, that's a big day for the youth group, a big money maker, so those you can come out for that and make cookies, and you can talk. Who's the best person to talk to, Linda or Anna? Anna's on the back raising her hand, so be ready for that. Any other announcements that need to be made, Kathy? Okay, we need some turkeys for the Thanksgiving meal. You can make one or you can make all three, so talk to her about it. And I heard about the hoagies for the Girl Scouts. Any other announcements? We need more cookies than ever. As long as you got the cookies by the 9th down here to the church. So, any other announcements? Yes. Minute for mission from Sean.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity. Let me speak to you about a very crucial component that supports the future success of our church. Stewardship. What exactly is stewardship? It is the lifeblood of the church. Stewardship supports the two essential objectives of this church. It serves the financial needs required to run our weekly service, our various spiritual programs, and it also covers the mission work as our calling from God to aid those with greater needs than our own. As you will see in the coming weeks when the annual budget is presented, it costs nearly $190,000 to operate the church and fellowship hall. Giving to the church is much like a membership to a club. Your gifts allow you to be a member of this elite organization we call Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. With its membership, you are granted the assurance of dedication to your faith, Christian ministry at its finest, thanks to Leonard, and a community of fellow members who share the same desires and outcomes as your own. Most club memberships have the same dues for all members. Stewardship to our church simply asks for what you can afford, with guidance provided by presbytery standards, though most importantly, your decision should come from within. As you've all heard before, Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. In the Church of Christ, each one is to give as he or she determines in their heart, and there is to be no compulsion. Giving is an important aspect of being a Christian, and the opportunity to dedicate your pledge is provided through our annual stewardship drive. Christians are to give as they have purposed in their own heart and as the Lord has prospered them. How much one determines to give should always be between themselves and God. Please keep your hearts open as we enter our stewardship drive and commit to what best fits within your own personal situation. Also, please join us in our Day of Stewardship celebration next Sunday as we fellowship together at the luncheon following the service. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Sean. And if you did not receive a card in the mail, there should be some in the pews or on the back table, estimate of giving cards. And for those new members who may not know, no one sees your estimate of giving card except our assistant treasurer, Carol. I don't even see it. I don't know what anyone in the congregation gives. So that is personal between you and God and Carol. That's it. And the government, I guess, if you claim it on your taxes. So that is personal. But we do hope that you can fill those out. Then we'll have a grand total, and hopefully we can announce it next Sunday. Any other announcements? Okay. Are we doing the babysitting so parents can go shopping? We've got new leaders, so I don't know if they know. Yeah, the parents, I guess, will have to see, have to discuss that. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise, 588, we have come into his house. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we are glad that you have revealed your true self to us through your Son. We worship you as a God of love, mercy, compassion, and forgiveness. Forgive us when we hide behind masks. We are afraid we will not be loved if people really get to know who we are. Help us not to be hypocrites in our Christian faith. Remind us that we all wear masks from time to time. May we be careful in judging others. They may just as easily judge us. Remind us to be the best we can be, hearts and with our deeds. Since we cannot hide from you, help us remove our masks. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment and bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us join together with a sense of unity here at Glenshaw Valley and with other churches in our community as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. Persons you don't know the name, ask their names. Greet some people you hadn't seen in a while.
Your name.
Amen. Such a beautiful song. Thank you. Responsive reading, back of your hymnals, 674, dedicated service. 674, dedicated service. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. By the grace given to me, I bid everyone among you not to think of himself or herself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith which God has assigned him. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good.
Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor.
Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord.
Rejoice in your hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer.
Contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep.
Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited.
Repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. I'd like to open up this portion of the service for the pastoral prayer. I invite you, first of all, to peruse the back of your bulletin, and you can pick up some names from there. The first one listed, Dorothy Gill, that should be actually her daughter, Christine Gill, who was in the hospital with breathing problems, and her sodium level was low, but she is now at home, and she's asking for prayers for healing. She's also asking for prayers to be able to stop smoking, and she really wants to be able to, so prayers for that, and for all these others that are listed, to continue to pray for them. And I would like to make sure we pray for Connie Wagner's husband, Don Wagner. He's in the VA in Aspenwall. And for my wife, Robin, she's having another MRI on Monday at 5:30, and then she sees the surgeon again Thursday. She's having severe back and hip problems. Janet Hall thanks everyone for the cards that have been sent to her, and she thanks you for her for the prayers that you've given to her. Suzanne Connors called me this morning and asked for prayers for Dave McKeith, lung biopsy, and it was hard to catch everything. She was real emotional and said she didn't think she could handle being in the service this morning. She was in tears. But we've been praying for Jim Apple, and this is his brother-in-law, and Jim had passed away, and she's been friends with them since a young age. And I'm trying to understand all. It sounds like they're going to induce a coma and something to do with the brain function. I apologize, I don't understand all the details, but just be in prayer for him, especially over the next 24, 48 hours. And any other prayer requests at this time? Okay. Patrick's heading up the Nicaragua mission trip this year, and so be in prayer for him, for her mom, for gallbladder surgery, which was successful, but keep praying for her and for the father also. Good. Okay, for neighbor of Kathy's, Shirley, and then the man had a colon partly removed and a biopsy on his lung. been a friend of the family, a grandfather friend, blood clots, and then said Christine is giving up cigarettes, so let's continue to pray for that.
My cousin Grace loses his job.
Her cousin Kevin, diabetes, had part of his toes removed, so let's be in prayer for him and that he doesn't lose his job. Anyone else? Yes, Muriel. Okay. She had her last cancer treatment. We're thankful of that. Then a friend, lung treatment, is in hospice. And then a friend, Diane and Don. Anyone else? Yes. Good. Her mom's doing very well, so thank you for the prayers. A good family wedding also. So God bless. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. In a Presbyterian tradition, we'll say the Lord's Prayer with debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you on this weekend that is a weekend when the children will be out trick-or-treating, Halloween, All Saints weekend. We pray for their safety in our neighborhoods, in our city, all around our nation. We pray for one another, for our health, for our well-being, whether it be financial, since we're going through a stewardship program, we are thinking about money. We think about our finances at our home. We also think about them at our church. Be with us during this time. We mentioned many persons in our Valley newsletter and our bulletin were spoken today. Many silent prayer requests. We thank you that you're a loving, forgiving, awesome God who cares about us, who is there with us every step of the way. We wonder sometimes why we pray and instantaneous healing does not come. But we understand that this life is full of trials and tribulations. It has sickness and death and war and things that we don't like to even think about. But it also has Jesus Christ, and it has the resurrection to eternal life, where one day all of our questions and all the mysteries will be answered, and where there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more heartache, no more hurt. But while we are on this side of heaven's gate, help us as individuals and the church reach out to one another with love and compassion and meet these needs where we can, where there is suffering, where there is hurt, where there is pain and difficulty, with love and understanding. Help us rip off the mask that we hide behind and show our true selves and allow ourselves to be more Christian in our faith, in our actions, our deeds, everything that we are, that we can become the men and women, the boys and girls that you have called us to be. Thank you, Lord, for walking upon this earth and giving yourself for our sins, that we can live the abundant, spirit-filled life, even when things are not going our way, even when we have the hurt, the pain, and the tears. Remind us that there's also joy and goodness. And thank you for this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our screen song today is Knowing You.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
You doing well today?
Yes.
Excellent. Today's scripture is a warning against hypocrisy. This is not a warning about saying one thing and doing another, sort of the way we think of hypocrisy today. It is more a warning about acting or doing things to appear more religiously superior than others. He is not saying what the Pharisees were preaching and teaching in those times was wrong. What he was saying is how they acted superior to others and more righteous than others that was wrong. It is a similar warning from Jesus that appears in Matthew 6. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the streets, corners, to be seen by others. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. Now, in this scripture, they talk about these little boxes that they wear on the shoulder. I have trouble with that word.
Phylacteries. Phylacteries.
What he said. Jesus is referring to items that God instructed Israelites to wear to remind them of their relationship to God, as stated in Deuteronomy 8 and Numbers 38, respectively. God did not intend these items to be to show how religious one is, but how close you are to God. The bottom line is that everyone is equal in the eyes of God and that we should interact with each other with humility as we would with equals. Listen to Scripture, Matthew 23, 1 through 12. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their
phylacteries
wide and their tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted and with respect in the marketplace and be called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And do not call one another father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Amen. Thank you, Bill. We have any people here today who are wearing masks? Got any hypocrites here today?
I got 10.
Am I the only one willing to admit I'm a hypocrite? Tomorrow night is Halloween. We're getting ready to give out candy. Most of it probably store-bought, maybe some made cookies, different things. But in spite of the practice nowadays of Halloween and being called Devil's Night in many parts of the country, it's actually a religious tradition, at least for a long time, with religious overtones or origins. The word hallow in Halloween is the same word as in hallowed be thy name, or sacred be thy name. So it's, in some religious circles, it is known as All Saints Day. Our tradition, which we think of ghosts and trick-or-treaters coming from the Celtic or the Celtic beliefs, the Celts believed that the soul of the departed roamed the earth on one night during the fall or the autumn. And since it was a time of harvest, the people huddled together in front of the fireplaces, eating and telling stories. And Halloween evolved into a celebration of witches and ghouls and fiends, far removed from what it was at one time, the All Saints' Day. And I trust that your children will be careful when they go out trick-or-treating or go to the parties that they will go to tomorrow night. I know that your parents will make extra sure and certain that they will be. At least trick-or-treating in our community in the Glenshaw, Shaler, and around Pittsburgh is relatively safe, at least compared to Churchill, Manitoba, Canada. It's a small town off the shores of Hudson Bay in Canada. Manitoba is most famous for being populated by polar bears. They have the most polar bears in the world. They're called the polar bear capital of the world. The rules for trick-or-treating are quite strict. No polar bear costumes are allowed, and I think you can understand why, but also no solid white costumes included ghost costumes, you know, the white sheets and we cut out the eyes, no white nurse uniforms, no bride dresses, and definitely no seal costumes. The reasons? Polar bears could show up at any time and eat these little children. To protect children going from door to door on Halloween night, game wardens are out on patrol with tranquilizer guns if any polar bears show up. And a helicopter does surveillance flying over, looking for polar bears. Police constables carry their shotguns to shoot in the air in case one comes by and to run it off. And noise is a big help. But the biggest thing to run the polar bears off are lights. So they park the ambulances and the patrol cars with their lights going and the fire trucks and the sirens all going to run off the polar bears. So you might have thought you had a little bit to worry about going out trick-or-treating, but compared to Manitoba, Canada, I think we've got it pretty good. Your child's probably not going to be eaten. But since it is Halloween, some of us may be thinking about what kind of costume to wear. I know over the years that I've gone to Halloween parties, I've dressed sometimes like a pirate, and one year I dressed like Moses, so I've done different kind of costumes. But many times we put on a literal mask that hides our faces, hides our identity, that people don't really know who we are. And Jesus was thinking about the same thing in a lesson today in Matthew's gospel, but he was not thinking about Halloween or wearing Halloween-type masks. He was thinking about the costumes and the masks that people put on in everyday life, especially the Pharisees, the religious leaders and teachers of his day and time. Jesus said about the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they do not practice what they teach. How many times have we heard that? Have you ever run into someone like that who does not practice what they preach? Whether it be a preacher, literally, or a teacher, or a parent tells you to do something and you see them doing just the opposite. You remember the famous outlaw, Jesse James? We've watched many movies played by many different stars. Some of the movies good, some terrible. But it said that Jesse James killed a man in a bank robbery, and very shortly after that, he went to the nearby Baptist church as if nothing had happened. Then he killed another man, a bank cashier, and immediately joined the church choir. As one commentator reported, he liked Sundays. He liked robbing trains on Sundays. But he liked his church too. I believe that we could say about Jesse James that he did not practice what he preached. And I think we could say that about a lot of politicians. You may find that hard to believe, but let me give you one example. There's a story told of former President Theodore Roosevelt. During one of his election campaigns, a delegation of citizens came to Roosevelt's home, and Roosevelt met them with his coat off and his sleeves rolled up, and he said, "Why don't we come down and go down to the barn, and you can watch me work while we talk about some political issues?" The delegation followed him to the barn, and Roosevelt picked up a pitchfork and looked around for the hay to pick, you know, to put up to the top, I don't know what you'd call it, the top loft. And he called out to his assistant, "John, where's all the hay?" He said, "Sorry, sir," John called from the hay loft. He said, "I ain't had time to toss it back down since you tossed it up when the Iowa delegation was here." Just showing off at a delegation, not real work. We would call that a photo op today, wouldn't we? Go paint a few brush strokes, get on TV, then go off somewhere in your limousine. The truth, all of us wear masks from time to time. Every single one of us, whether we admit it or not, or even think about it in these terms. On occasion, we all play the hypocrite. I'm conscious of it. I know, and I admit, as your pastor, that I'm a hypocrite. Every time I talk about, and every time I preach, and I talk about taking up the cross and following Jesus Christ, I am confronted with the question of how much does it cost me to preach, to teach, to lead? How much does my faith cost me to serve the Master at the level that I need to be serving Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior and my Master? I think you understand that, because it's true of you as well. The critics are right. The church is full of hypocrites. Every single church that's ever been founded from the beginning of time. And the more conscious you are of Christ's call, the more aware you must be of how inadequate our witness to the world is as Christians. In an interview in the magazine The Door, famed psychiatrist M. Scott Peck tells about the first time he went to see the Swiss psychiatrist Paul Tournay, one of the most influential Christians of the world at that time and still. Following Tournay's lecture, there was a time of question and dialogue when one of the reporters or one of the men stood up and asked Dr. Tournay, "What do you think about all the hypocrites in the churches today?" Stumbling over the English words, Tournay apologized and said he did not understand the meaning of the word hypocrite. Not all words translate from one language to another language so perfectly. Several people offered definitions: phony, pretending to be something that you are not, unauthentic, phony. And suddenly the doctor's eyes lit up and said, "Ah, hypocrite, now I understand. Say smoy, yes, I am the hypocrite." The closer you are to Jesus, the more you must measure your life, not by other people's lives, but by the life of Jesus Christ. And that's where we get all befuddled and all mixed up, because we say, "Well, I'm as good as he or I'm as good as she." But that's not who we are to measure. Our standard is Jesus Christ. We cry out with Paul Tournay, "I am the hypocrite." And I guess that's why I kind of like this expression. If a hypocrite is standing between you and God, it just means that the hypocrite is closer to God than you are. Think about it. There's some truth to this expression that we're all hypocrites. We all wear a mask. Some people, however, take it to the extreme. This is what Jesus disliked about the Pharisees. We talk about wearing your religion on your sleeve. Well, the Pharisees literally wore their religion on their foreheads and on their arms. Literally. They wore phylacteries, little leather boxes that they got from an obscure Old Testament passage, and they put them up here and had Old Testament scriptures, because they didn't have New Testament, had Old Testament scriptures in the little boxes. So people could look at them and say, oh, look at them. They're so religious. They're wearing scriptures on their foreheads. And their tassels on their robes. Oh, they're so religious. Look how long they are. They're such religious people. But their only practical purpose was to show how religious and devout they were trying to pretend to be. Because common people like the shepherds and fishermen, regardless of how religious they were, they didn't do it. Meanwhile, the Pharisees oppressed the common people with their interpretation of the law. The Pharisees counted 613 laws that they wanted the people to keep in order to live lives that were pleasing to God. And by focusing on these 613 strict, very strict laws, the Pharisees neglected the weightier issues of love and justice. If I can just keep this law or keep this law, and no one could keep all 613 laws. No one. Impossible to do. And so this is what Christ meant when he said, they tie us up with heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on the people's shoulders. But they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them or to help the people. And we all wear masks, but the Pharisees took the wearing of masks to the extreme. So if you work at looking more religious than you really are, talking about us today, then Jesus has some harsh words for each of us. However, there is something else that needs to be said before Halloween. We need to be careful about judging other people, by the masks that they wear. A little different perspective on wearing masks. Marilyn Hellenberg tells about a creature that appeared at her door one Halloween, is you're going to see creatures if you answer the door with candy this Halloween. She called it the scariest creature that she had ever seen. It was a rubber mask, of course, covering the young man's face and head with his twisted features, a pull-down mouth, and a bright red scar ripping down his jaw. And quickly, Marin dropped a couple of homemade cookies into the young man's sack, and he hurried and scurried away out into the night. And a couple of days later, the young paper boy came to collect the money due for the paper route. And he said, those sure were some good cookies that you made for Halloween. And you may have guessed it. He was the young man behind that mask. And Marilyn could hardly believe it. Darren, she said, is a real sweetheart of a young boy. Good-natured, polite, working to become an Eagle Scout. It made Marilyn wonder, could there be a loving child of God behind some of the ugly masks that we wear? That woman with the stringy, unwashed hair who sat behind us in church last week, might that be a sweet-natured child with a little self-esteem problem behind her unkempt disguise? That opinionated man who seems so cocky, is it possible there's a little boy behind his blustery camouflage, hoping his fear won't show? That pushy woman crowding in front of us at the post office, I wonder if the little girl in her has felt ignored for far too long. She said, there's a child in me too, someone that hurts. Thank God for those special people who care enough to look beyond the false faces that I wear sometimes. Those are wise words, I think, because I think we need to be careful about judging people from any perspective. Be careful about judging people by the masks they wear. For example, young people often put on masks by wearing and dressing in Gothic, and you think, oh, those are scary people. But they're not. Or piercings, or tattoos, or weird hair designs, or offbeat clothing, whatever it might be. Sometimes they're the nicest people in the world. And then you look at somebody with a double-breasted suit, or a Gucci handbag, and they're just the opposite. They're not so nice. They're cruel and mean. Be careful how you judge somebody on the outward appearance of how they look or how they dress, how much they weigh or how tall they are, whatever it might be. The Pharisees were wearing masks and they were pretending holiness that they did not possess. And who among us has not done the same thing? And regardless of the mask we wear, we cannot fool God. Regardless of what kind of mask we choose to put on, God knows exactly who we are. You can fool other people, but you cannot fool God, ever. God knows our hearts. God knows our priorities. I'm going to tell you this story in closing. According to Kenneth Gangland, each year in Basel, Switzerland, the good Protestant townspeople have a festival in which they don masks and go through the city doing things and going places they would never consider doing under normal circumstances. And the mask which veils their identity emboldens them to do certain things. One year, the Salvation Army, concerned about their abandonment of moral standards, put a sign up over the city which read, "God sees behind the mask." In this story, told about a high school concert a few years back, they had a substitute band director come in. And this young man, who's a trombonist, and they were getting ready to give a concert, and he wanted to go on a date. He didn't want to play the trombone. He just wanted to skip out, had a hot date. So he got a friend of his to fill in. The uniform would fit him. So he finally protested, and he finally said, "Okay, I'll do it." The trombonist said, "All you've got to do is just watch the other four or the other three. When they slide, you just kind of slide. Just do what they do. No one's going to know because the other one's going to make enough noise. It's loud. You'll fit right in." So he was a little nervous, but he got in and he started doing it. And everything was going fine. Then he looked, because he could read music, and he looked down. He noticed that they called for four trombones to play a brief trombone quartet. So Joe waited until the part came and he rose with the other trombonists, and then the substitute band leader pointed to them to play. They all stood up, they all took their trombones, and they all let out the slides. No sound. Every single one of them was a substitute. A friend had talked them in so they could go off and do something else. They were all false trombonists. Not a sound came forth. They were all pretenders. And that's what we don't want our church to be. We don't want our church to be all pretenders. We want some real music to come out of here. Some real Christian faith to emanate forth from the body of Christ here at Glenshaw Valley. This is a reminder of one thing that cannot be faked. It's our true heart and our true service to God. We can hide for a while. Loving service to others is something that cannot be faked. So if you're tired of wearing a mask, whatever kind of mask you may be wearing, start getting rid of it. If you have to take it off piece by piece, start doing it. And start living a life of authentic Christian faith. Give yourself to God. Give yourself to serving God's children. It's never too late to be authentic. It's never too late to take off the mask. May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn, "The Trees of the Field," 244. you prepare to leave this sanctuary today and get ready for Steelers' victory over the Patriots? Is it okay to say that in church, or at least a good game? And hope you have a safe and fun Halloween. I hope that you think about taking off the mask that we all wear from time to time and be an authentic person, an authentic Christian, and let your true self show forth. And sometimes it's not a pretty picture. But start being who you are and let God work on you. We all need that. We all need to be sincere and truthful and be the best that we can be. Go from here in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.